So I'm going to invite Lynn to come up and bring God's word to us.
Thank you. It's so wonderful to be here. I am so delighted that I've been able to come. When they said we were just going to forget it, I was a bit like, oh. So it's wonderful. I'm really glad that I'm here. But let's begin with scripture, and I'd like to read a short passage from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. And it's on page 1,000, I think, of the Bibles. This passage comes after the resurrection of Jesus and will be familiar to many of you, but maybe not all. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let's pray together. Loving God, we just thank you for the gift of your word. The word incarnate that we wait for coming and coming again this Christmas, for the word of scripture that brings Jesus alive to us. Lord, would you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that as we gather around your word together, that you would speak words of life and truth and hope and peace and joy to us. Lord, we want to encounter you here. We want to be shaped and changed by you. We want to be encouraged by you. So Lord, we are here for you. Open hands, open hearts, open minds, open lives. Speak, we pray. We follow you. Amen. Well, as I said, I'm delighted to be here with you today. It's wonderful to see in the flesh and to hear the story, which I had researched, but it's great to actually hear it and see the pictures and some more reflections about that later. We are here today because you embarked upon a vision that was born up in prayer. You longed to see God's blessing flow out into the community, and you sensed that what God wanted to do was bigger than the existing church could hold. You had a bigger vision. You sensed God wanted to do more than that. And this today is the fruit of that vision. How amazing it is. How amazing this day is to represent that. This wonderful building that we meet in today and its wonderful position is so amazing. A church and community centre all about people and God's care for them. And I was struck actually when you were sharing earlier, I think this is not just a significant thing for Evesham Baptist Church. My sense, the sense that I have today is that actually this is quite prophetic for the whole of our Baptist family. I was thinking, you talked about being tucked away. And a lot of Baptist churches historically were tucked away because when they were formed, Baptists were persecuted, they were on the margins, they were not allowed to participate in civic life and everything, and they were tucked away. They worshipped faithfully, they served God faithfully, but they were often tucked away in tucked away places. But now, how amazing. Edward gave me the postcode to get here and said, "You'll drive down the road and you'll see it." And I did. I came down the road and I saw it. And I drove past the turning. So I came down the road and I went round the roundabout. But, oh, I obviously should have turned off there. And then I saw it from that angle as well. It's just beautifully exposed, isn't it? In a wonderful way. And isn't that amazing? God has taken you from being tucked away to being in this very visible place. And I'm wondering if that's a prophetic word for us at Baptists, that in this season, God is calling us to come out from being tucked away, to be visible, to be available and visible for his purposes. So let's ponder that together. But as has been shared, it's been a long journey to get here, 18 years, wow. And I just want to celebrate and recognise that with you today. All the prayer and the vision, that's what really grabbed my attention when Edward first contacted me. I read the story, a bit about the story and the prayer and the heart, and my heart went out to your heart because of what I read in that. Also, the amazing story about God's provision along the way, slowly unfolding, must have felt at many times like it wasn't going to happen. The investment of significant time and resources and energy and prayer and lots and lots and lots of hard work. And I can imagine that even over this last weekend, you've all been working really, really hard to make it all happen today. It's been an amazing and long journey to get here. And Edward said his thanks, and I just want to add my thanks too. Everyone has worked very hard, obviously, but leaders and ministers, I just wanted to say thank you to you, because sometimes to hold that vision for that time, to persevere, to keep going tirelessly on such a project is an incredible thing. And I want to thank you today for all that you have done. I see here the fruit of great teamwork, so thank you for that. So this is certainly a very well-deserved moment to stop and to give thanks for all that has been achieved. A new building has been developed and established here. And what struck me when I was thinking about today was that it is in fact like a threshold moment. I've got a picture. A threshold moment. So a threshold, like the door lintel that you step over when you come in a house. Today is a threshold moment. And it struck me that a threshold represents both coming home and going out, doesn't it? You go in through a threshold and you come out over a threshold. And I want to use this passage that we've read today from Matthew to make sense and to make space for God to speak to us in this threshold moment today. Because today, you're officially, or this weekend, you're officially stepping into a new building. You're sort of taking possession of it. You've got the keys. It's yours. And I loved that idea of walking and kind of carrying your history and bringing it to here, the culmination of what's done. How beautiful is that? And if we just think of the passage for a moment, the first thing I noticed was in verse 17, because you may be wondering, where am I going with this? But verse 17, it says there, doesn't it? When they saw him, they worshipped him. And if you know anything about this passage, you will know that this comes at the end of a very tumultuous time. All sorts of stuff had been going on at Easter. They'd been on this roller coaster of emotions, hadn't they? For Jesus being the conquering hero that was going to change everything, to being crucified on the cross, from being, yeah, we're with him, to the disciples being, oh my gosh, what's going on? All these emotions have been going on. And yet here they see, after all that, Jesus as the living Lord in their midst. Wow. And isn't it amazing that their instinctive response when they're face to face with the living God is worship? They worshipped him. They saw him and they worshipped him. They were captivated by who he was. And they were just overflowing with thankfulness, with love and grace when they came face to face with Jesus. And I love in that verse that they brought their whole selves. They brought their whole selves to this encounter, didn't they? They brought their love, they brought their worship, but they also brought their doubts and their disappointments and their joy and their struggles. I kind of feel it was a real moment there. And some of you might be feeling mixed emotions. Some of you might be fed up to the back teeth with this journey and you're really relieved that you're here. Others might be like, wow, this is amazing. What? Yes, what's next? Everyone comes with their different feelings, different emotions, and yet they're all brought into this encounter we see here. The disciples bring their whole selves, and in bringing their whole selves to the presence of Jesus, they have this profound moment of encounter. They encounter Jesus. Now, why use this passage? Well, it's because I'm going to tell you what I know that you know, and that is the building is not actually that important. I know it feels like it's really, really important, and in one sense it is, but the building is not actually that important. What is important here is that you have created a space for encounter. Yeah? You've created a space for encounter. It is a new building and it is a new place, but as we've said, it's steeped in the prayer and the worship of those who have gone before, nearly 300 years of faith and vision and love is brought into this place today. And the other thing that just struck me as we were worshipping right at the beginning was that I'm going off my notes here a bit, from Matthew 25, I thought that was interesting. The parable of the talents, if you know it. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. So you've been faithful in your tucked awayness, and now God has put you in this very visible place. You have been faithful with what God has given, and now God has entrusted you with this. Isn't that amazing? You have created a space for encounter. And so at this threshold moment, God wants to invite you home again. Come in. Come in. Come into his presence. Come to see him and to worship him, because that is the most important thing. And it's from that encounter with Jesus that everything else flows. Yeah? So come in. Come home. Encounter Jesus. But there's also something else here in this passage, as I maybe highlighted earlier, and that's something about community. They didn't simply encounter God, did they? They encountered God together. They were together in their, with all the realness of their feelings. Some of them got it, some of them weren't sure, some of them were like, well, what's going on here? But they encountered Jesus together. And I think that's really important about the space that you've created here. It's a space for being real, for coming as you are, and to be real. It's a place of welcome, a place to meet and find new friends, a place to find peace and safety, a space for unconditional love, for belonging, for authentic community, for doing life together. And it's not just for us, it's for everyone in this place. You've created a space for encounter for God, but we're going to encounter God together as the people that we are. So a threshold moment. But if we go on to verse 18, we see there it says, and then Jesus said. So when you're in the presence of God, that's when God speaks. Because they saw him and they worshipped, and then God speaks. And so it's into the encounter that God speaks. The threshold moment is not just a coming in, it's also a going out, because God speaks in the encounter. Now, it's very difficult to find a picture for this, but this is the picture I've got. I love this. I love this kind of symbol to me. This is a very precious symbol to me. It's the dandelion clock, and I love that sense that as the spirit blows, and I really like this particular picture because like half the dandelion clock has gone, because it's blown and it spread, and who knows where those seeds will go and will land. And that is a beautiful thing, I think, a beautiful picture of the kingdom. Because Jesus comes and says to them in the midst of that encounter, go and make disciples. Go. And we remember that that's not really an invitation. It's not like, would you like to maybe go, if you kind of think about it, sort of. Jesus says, go. It's a command. It's a commission. I think maybe he knew our default mode was to huddle and to hide and to maybe stay at home. But he says, go and make disciples. And so this passage here is not just about gathering together. And this building here is not just about gathering together, is it? It's also about scattering, about being the sent ones, God's people, in the places where he's put us. Go and make disciples. It's just worth saying again, isn't it? Jesus doesn't say go and run a church, go and put on lots of programs, go and maintain a beautiful building, even though we probably will do lots of those things and they're not bad in and of themselves. They're just tools. What Jesus says is go and make disciples. That is our primary call, to make disciples. And that's what we need to do, for us to be becoming disciples, being disciples, and to help other people to see Jesus and to follow Jesus too. Our call is to make disciples. Jesus promises that he will build his church. And he doesn't just mean the people there, I think. He also means the building. Leave the church to God. Your job, you focus on your job, and that's to make disciples and trust God for the church. Yeah? I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, friends, you will know that the construction of this new building was worthwhile when the encounters with God and others in this space make disciples. You will know that the construction of this building was worthwhile when the church is going and making disciples. That's going to be the fruit. That's when you're knowing you got it right. Not that it looks nice, but that it's the space to do what we've been called to do. Because encounter leads to commissioning. We meet God and God speaks. And what God speaks is go and make disciples. Now, friends, the building is ready. The building is ready. Is the church ready? The building is ready. Is the church ready? Are you ready to go and make disciples as you have been called to? As we read this passage, we remember that the disciples were not where they expected to be, were they? This was not their plan to be in this place at this time. And maybe for some of you here today, you know what that's like. This was not my plan, but yet here they were. They were out of their comfort zones. They were then sent out into uncharted territory. And for, I'm sure for many of them, there was a real kind of sense of, it was daunting, it was scary, maybe a bit of excitement, but it's like, whoa, what's happening here? It was a big deal. And I'm wondering whether it's a bit like that for you too. I wonder whether there's sometimes a sense, I don't know, if you're like me, you focus on the doing of the task. I've got to get this done, I've got to get this done, I've got to get this done. And then when it's done, you're like, oh, what am I going to do now? Oh, I haven't really thought about what's going to happen next. So I wonder if you feel there. It's been an epic journey that's taken up so much of your time, but oh, now we're here. We got there. You've been pushed out of your comfort zones. You've had your vision stretched. You've had your faith tested. You've had your, you know, you've had to have courage and perseverance, and you've done it. And you've got here. There's this wonderful new building. There's a new era with new opportunities and new responsibilities. You're stepping into the call that God has given you now. You've done it. So as you look over the threshold and out again, as you lift your vision from the building to God's call through this building, remember that this future journey comes with a promise. And what a brilliant promise it is. I am with you always. Surely I am with you always. And this is the last piece of the passage for us, isn't it? The promise of God's presence. I am with you always. So when we are here, God is with us. When we go, God is with us. Yeah? When we're here, God is with us. And as we go, God is with us. We're not alone. The presence of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit is with us. And so the wonderful truth is that you don't leave the encounter when you step out of this building, when you step out of the threshold, because it's as we go that we continue to encounter the Lord. The encounter carries on out here in the week, in the conversations, in everything that you're doing. It carries on because Jesus is with you. God's love spilling into our hearts as we gather to worship and then flowing out into the heart of this community, bringing life and love and hope and joy and peace to all in this community. It's a beautiful thing. So just to draw it all together, we stand today at a threshold moment, and God is inviting you to step over, to come in and to come home. As you worship and encounter Jesus in this place, come home to him. Come home to yourself. Come home to this community. Come home. But it's not just about stepping in. It's also about stepping over and going out, being and making disciples. This might look very different in this new season, but be attentive to Jesus and follow him wherever he calls you to go, as you have done over this journey. Keep doing that. But God's call to be disciples and make disciples doesn't change. It's exactly the same to you now. God has put a big and generous vision in your heart. And as you celebrate this new building today, know that while the Lord rejoices with you, his heart is for so much more. His heart is still for so much more. It's not a case of like, oh, we've done that. God's heart is for so much more. Sometimes I hear Christians talk and, you know, I think that I can't even put it into words. More than 97% of the population doesn't know Jesus. God's heart is for much more than our heart is for. Let's ask God to expand our hearts, to share his heart for the whole of this community, so that as we long for renewal, as we long for transformation, we long for the renewal and transformation of this church community and this wider community here. And so whilst this building is fab, and it certainly is, my prayer for you is this, that your transformation will be so, that your transformation will be so beautiful and captivating that others will see and hear and experience Jesus and be longing to worship and follow him too. And as we stand at this threshold moment, I want to end with these words, and they're from Celtic Daily Prayer. "Come to the edge," he said. They said, "We're afraid." "Come to the edge," he said. And they came, and he pushed them, and they flew. Now is the time to fly.